The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Samaches Amid Beis, has an interesting machlokes between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, how the Jew is to ideally spend his day of Yom Tov. For on the surface, there appears to be a stira between two psukim in the Torah. The Torah seems to be sending us two contradictory messages. On the one hand, the Torah tells us the day of Yom Tov is to be Atzeres Lashem Elokecha, which means a holiday unto God. On the other hand, the Torah says Atzeres Tiyeh Lochem, it is to be a holiday unto you. So how do we resolve whether it is to be a day for God, dedicated to Him, or a day unto you? So Rabbi Eliezer, who interestingly was a disciple of Beis Shammai, he says, take the psukim literally, and therefore, O kulo lashem, O kulo lachem. You have a choice. You spend the Yom Tov day either dedicated completely to the prayer and study of God's Torah, or kulo lachem. After you daven, you spend the day in good food, in friendship, in relaxation, and in enjoyment. That's how Rabbi Eliezer resolves the stira. Rabbi Yehoshua, on the other hand, says no, that ideally the Jew is to combine the two, chelkehu, chetzio lashem, half of the day is to be given to God, v'chetzio lachem. Generally speaking, we understand this to mean that the first half of the day is given to God in the sense that we spend it in prayer, and the second half of the day is spent in terms of our enjoying a Shabbos or Yom Tov festive meal. Interestingly, the Hasidim understand this in a little bit of a different way. They say the day is to be split half to God and half to man. But they understand the chetzio lochem, the half which is to you, is the davening. Because if a Jew really gets into the davening, it is a truly spiritual and uplifting experience, and that was the half that was already for them. Then afterwards, the halacha says, you have to go home and eat. So that half is chetzio lashem. Whichever way we understand the division of the day, this is the way the Talmud tells us that according to Rabbi Yehoshua, you are to spend the Yom Tov, half for man and half for God. The Talmud continues and tells us, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Modim, Rabbi Elazar says that both Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, who disagreed in terms of certain holidays, how the day is to be spent, they agree that on three occasions you require, for sure, lochem, a festive meal on that day. One, hakomodim ba'atzeres deba'ina nami lochem. They both agree that Shavuos requires a festive meal. My taima, what's the reason for this? Yom Shenitno Bo Torah, because this is the day that the Torah was given. I suspect that most of us learning this piece of Gemara would say to ourselves just the reverse, that the day that the Torah was given, this is the day that you could or probably should spend the entire day in the study of Torah. However, the Gemara tells us, no, that everybody agrees. And the possible explanation for this might be found in conjunction with that which we find at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, whereby the Torah tells us that at the time of Matan Torah, the Elatzilei Bnei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yado. This is in Mishpatim, chapter 24, Pasuk Yud Aleph 11. To the Atzilim of Bnei Yisrael, which are the princes Nadav and Avihu and the Zakenim, the Torah tells us Lo Shalach Yado, and there's a difference of opinion between Rashi and the Ramban how to understand this. But the pasuk continues, Vayechazu Esrei Lokim. They perceived and they were privileged at Sinai to experience godliness, and Vayochlu and Vayishtu. The Torah tells us that they ate and they drank upon experiencing this kedusha. And the Ramban, in his commentary on this pasuk, tells us that from here, Omar Reb Elazar in Shir Hashirim Rabbah, Mikan, this is the source, She'osim Mishte Lihigamra Shel Torah. This is the source that one is to have a party or a festive meal in conjunction with the receiving of Torah. It's for this reason, writes the Ramban, that Shlomo HaMelech, that when he was privileged to have his request of God fulfilled, when God gave him Chachma, or a greater understanding of Torah, we're told that Shlomo immediately came to Yerushalayim and he made a mishteh l'chol avodav, because Torah requires man to bring forth with it a su'udas hoda'a, a meal of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. So when we are privileged to complete a mesechta, a tractate of the Talmud, the practice is that we not only join together with family and friends and complete the actual learning of the particular mesechta, but it's then followed by an appropriate festive meal, because we show our thanksgiving in a fashion whereby we eat and drink in honor of the Torah. So therefore, says the Talmud, everybody agrees that on Shavuos it was essential to have a festive meal. The Talmud continues and tells us that Hakomodim b'Shabbos to be'ina nami lochem, that Shabbos requires a festive meal, and they cite the pasuk from the 58th chapter of Yeshaya, v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, that since the Navi speaks and tells us that one of the mitzvos hayom is to have the enjoyment of Shabbos, which our rabbis tell us it means the, again, festive and enjoyable meals, Shabbos is a day that everybody agrees requires, as we know, three su'udos. And finally, Amar Rav Yosef, Hakol Modim Bipurim to be inonami lochem. Purim as well requires the festive meal. My timer. So the Gemara in Psachim gives the reason, because Yimei Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv Bei, because in chapter 9 of Megillas Esther, where we have the laws of Purim, we are told that Purim is to be made into a day of Mishteh V'Simcha, partying and thanksgiving. However, the She'iltos in She'ilta Samach Zayin tells us that the reason why we are to have a festive meal on Purim, Hakol Modim, because Purim as well is a day of Kabbalas HaTorah. This idea that Purim is a day of Kabbalas HaTorah is found in the Gemara Shabbos on Daf Peches, whereby the Talmud tells us, based upon the verse found in Parshas Yisro prior to the actual Kabbalas HaTorah, the Torah teaches, Vayisyatzvu b'sachtis hohor. The Jewish people stood literally at the foot or under the mountain. Amar Avdimi bar Chama bar Chasa, Rav Dimi taught the following. Milamed, this comes to teach us this verse. Shakafa Kodesh Baruch Hu Aleihem es Hahar Kigiyas, that God lifted the mountain above them and said to them, Imatem Mekablim HaTorah Mutav, if you accept the Torah, fine. V'im lav, but if not, Shom Tehei Kfuraschem, if not, then and there will be your burial. In other words, as the Gemara continues to tell us, it would appear that the Jewish people were coerced at Sinai to accept the Torah, which is indeed what Rav Acher bar Yaakov says, Mikan Modo Rabba Leoraisa. This is, therefore, a strong and loud protest that the Jewish people should be able to say, wait a minute, this was imposed upon us, and therefore, if at any time the Jewish people are asked, why is it that you do not fulfill and keep the Torah? They can respond, wait a minute, Kiblu HaBeyones, this was imposed upon us. It was something coerced. We didn't take it voluntarily. Therefore, the Talmud continues, the Rava teaches, Afal Pi Kein, Hador Kiblu HaBimei HaChashveirosh. You should know that subsequently the Jewish people did receive the Torah in the days of Purim and the days of Achashverosh, as it's written in chapter 9 of Megillas Esther, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim, the Jewish people accepted upon themselves, and the Talmud understands it to mean Kimu, they accepted Masha Kiblu Kfar, that which they had already accepted prior, namely at Sinai. So the Gemara in Shabbos clearly tells us that Purim is a day of Kabbalas HaTorah. Firstly, one little guide to help us understand this Gemara, that at Sinai they were coerced. I don't believe one has to take the Gemara literally, that the mountain was lifted up and placed above their heads. However, I believe that what happened at Sinai was that the revelation that God appeared to the Jewish people was so strong and so clear to them, there was no doubt in their mind that God was speaking to each and every one of them, which is a unique phenomena that no other people on the face of this earth have ever said or can say, that God spoke to them as a people. So because they were so sure that God was speaking to them, they had no choice but to accept the Torah. And that's what the Torah means, the Talmud, when it says, it was as if God lifted the mountain above them, because it was with absolute surety, and this was something which was lemala min ha-teva. This was something which was supernatural. At the time of Purim, however, whereby they accepted the Torah again, believing that it was God who had the hand throughout the Purim story, though clearly one could perhaps say that it was all a series of various coincidences, but that really God was not involved in the process of the Purim phenomena, seeing God in the everyday activities, seeing God in Teva, this was the significance of the new Kabbalas HaTorah, which took place at Purim. But clearly, what emerges from the Talmud is that Purim has this degree of special nature to it because we accepted the Torah afresh and anew. To explain the Gemara that we began in Psachim, I'd like to share with you the brilliant insight of the Binyan Shlomo, who suggests that the reason why we have a meal each and every Shabbos is to celebrate what he calls the Chanukas Habayis of this world. Just as when someone builds a new house, you invite friends and family over, and you have a Chanukas Habayis, a dedication of the new home, so too, every Shabbos we celebrate God's creation and his finishing creation, which he has done after 6 days, and we have therefore a festive meal in conjunction with this Chanukas Habayis. Then he continues and he says, but after all, the world was not yet complete, because as Rashi teaches us on the verse, Vahiyere Vahivoker Yom Hashishi, the sixth day, God built in to this world a condition. If the Jewish people are going to accept the Torah, then fine, the world will have purpose and meaning and permanence. But if, however, the Jewish people do not, then the world will not continue. And so everybody agrees that Shavuos requires this festive meal because it's a continuation of this Chanukas Habayis, because it gives the world permanence. And as we pointed out with the Gemara Shabbos, points out the Binyan Shlomo, even at Shavuos, we did not have a complete and total Kabbalas HaTorah, because at that time we were coerced by the awesomeness of the occasion. We needed the Kabbalas HaTorah of Purim in order for the Jewish people to be completely accepting of their Torah. With this as background, that Purim is a day of Kabbalas HaTorah, I'd like to show how the four mitzvos hayom, the four special mitzvos that we have and perform in conjunction with our celebration of Purim, how each of them reflect this theme of Purim being a day of Matan Torah. The first mitzvah is that of Kriyas HaMegillah. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chayev Adam Likros HaMegillah Balayla V'lachzor U'lishanosa Vayom, that one is obligated to read the Megillah twice, once on the night of Purim and once during the day. Interestingly, and I think this is important that people should realize, the Shari Tshuva brings the Node Behuda, who teaches that within the two readings of Purim, there is a qualitative difference between the two. That the reading of the Megillah at nighttime is Derabanan, is a mitzvah from the rabbis. Ukriyas Hayom, but the reading of the Megillah during the day is midivrei Kabbalah. It is a mitzvah from the Nevi'im, which means it's on a higher, more sophisticated level, which has a very important lesson to be taught to all of us. It's common that everybody flocks to the synagogue on the night of Purim to hear the Megillah. In the morning, men come, but oftentimes women might find the hour a bit inconvenient and rationalize, well, I at least heard the Megillah last night. It's therefore important to know that the reading of the Megillah by day is even more important in accordance with the strict letter of the law than the reading of the Megillah at nighttime. And therefore, each community should certainly try to provide readings for elderly people, women who cannot possibly come at an earlier time in the morning, but to accommodate them at a later time during the day. I'd like to demonstrate that the Megillah, aside from being, as the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudalit teaches us, that Kriyasa Zu Hilula, that the reading of the Megillah is really a form of Hallel, whereby we give Shevach V'Hoda'a to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we give thanksgiving to God. And it's interesting, in form of this thanksgiving that we give through the reading of the Megillah, I'd like to show you, by way of the bracha that we recite after the reading of the Megillah. We recite the bracha, Harav es Riveinu, V'hadon es Dineinu, V'hanokem es Nikmosenu, whereby we thank God who champions our cause, who vindicates our rights, and takes revenge for us. Now, if you listen to these words carefully, Rav es Riveinu, Don es Dineinu, Nokem es Nikmosenu, they have a familiar ring, because during and on Hanukkah, when we recited the Al HaNisim for Hanukkah, we said in conjunction with Hanukkah, after all, Ravto es Rivam, Danto es Dinam, Nokanto es Nikmasam, which means you championed in the past their cause, you defended their right, you avenged their wrong in the past. And why is this so? That in conjunction with Hanukkah, the language is in the past. In conjunction with Purim, it's in the present. Points out Harav David Cohen Shlita from Yerushalayim in his Sefer Yimei HaPurim that there's a fascinating difference between Hanukkah and Purim. Namely, that Hanukkah, we celebrate that which God performed for us that one time, the historical event during the second Beis HaMikdash, which allowed the second temple to continue until, unfortunately, it was destroyed 200 years later. However, Purim, when we recite the bracha of Harav es Riveinu, we're saying not just once did God work behind the scenes to provide us and protect us and to shelter us in the Golus, in our exile, but each and every year we give thanks to Him for this phenomena of Harav es Riveinu and V'hadon es Dineinu, and hence the difference in the tense between the past for Hanukkah, but the present that we say for Purim. We're not just and only giving thanks for the Yeshua, for that which He did for us in the time of Mordechai v'Esther, but we are indeed thanking for our very existence, ad hayom, to this very day, our survival in the Golus. So the Kriyasa, the reading of the Megillah, is a form of Hallel, is Hilula. But in addition, points out the Kedushas Levi, citing from the Yerushalmi of Megillah, in the very first halacha, in the first chapter, he points out that that which we find written in conjunction with Megillas Esther, at the end of the book of Esther, Divrei Shalom ve'emes, he points out that this expression means that it is nitan lidoresh, which means we have the right and obligation to study and derive laws from it, as is the Torah. Because he points out that there are only two books in the Tanakh that were dictated word for word by God. The five books of Moses, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and Megillas Esther. And it is for this reason that we can perhaps understand the role of Megillas Esther as being not only the book which tells us of the story and God's miraculous salvation of the Jewish people from Amalek via Haman, but just as we find at the time of Matan Torah, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us that there was a Sefer HaBris, there was an actual book of the covenant, that the Torah tells us, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Moshe took the book of the covenant. And Rashi tells us it means, Mibereshis, the Ad Matan Torah, as well as the mitzvot that they were given at Mora. In other words, the actual Torah is called a Sefer HaBris. There was a contract in hand that Moshe said to the Jewish people, look, this is what you are accepting at this time of Kabbalah HaTorah. So too, one could and should look upon Megillas Esther as an extended Sefer HaBris, that at this later Kabbalah HaTorah, at this successive Kabbalah HaTorah, whereby they did it when they were not coerced to receive the Torah, because after all, it was done in a natural way, here too there is an actual contract, which is the Megillas Esther. And I think further substantiation that the Megillah can be looked upon as a kind of Chefza of Torah comes from the famous Rambam in the way he concludes the laws of Megillah. The Rambam writes at the end of chapter 2, Halacha 18, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim V'chol HaKsuvim. And this is a difficult passage, but says the Rambam, literally, all the writings of the Nevi'im and the later prophets, Asidin Libateo Limos HaMashiach, literally, are going to be nullified, which has to be understood. It's going to mean that these books bring us to this time, namely, to the time of Mashiach, Chutz Mimegillas Esther. Except for Megillas Esther, writes the Rambam, V'arei kayemes, it is going to endure kachamisha chumshei Torah. Again, the comparison between the Megillas Esther and Torah. So the first point that I would like to demonstrate is that certainly, please God, we are going to hear the Megillah as we are taught, both by night and by day. But we should keep in mind that listening to the Megillah is not only thanksgiving for our survival and is sparing us the miracle then and throughout Jewish history, but it's another link literally to our not only acceptance of Torah, it is a representation of this acceptance, and that's why this document and this book is so very dear and important. The next two mitzvos that I'd like to discuss are that of the Seudas Purim, the mitzvah of having a festive meal on Purim, as well as that of Mishloach Manos, the mitzvah of sending of gifts, whereby on Purim day, each man and woman is obligated to send to at least one individual two varieties of food that are ready to be eaten. You'll see in a few moments why I'd like to combine these two laws together. The Shulchan Aruch teaches us in Simon Tafresh Tzadi Hei that a Purim Seuda, which is done balayla, lo yatsa yidechavaso, which means that a seuda which is done on the night of Purim, the night preceding the day, that one does not satisfy their obligation. They certainly can have a pleasant meal after they hear the Megillah at nighttime. But that meal does not satisfy the law of Sudas Purim. One has to have it during the day. Once it begins during the day, oftentimes it could and should continue into the night that follows. It is well known that Chayav Inish Livsumei Bepuria, one is obligated to drink at one's Purim Su'uda Adeloyada until he cannot differentiate Bein Oror Haman, between cursed is Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. Keep in mind a few practical things. Remember, he's still saying and noting, cursed is the right one, Haman, and blessed is the right one, Mordechai. He's not, God forbid, confusing it. And certainly remember, on a most practical note, our responsibility for our guests, and especially if any of them will be driving, to make sure that they watch very carefully how they imbibe on Purim. What is the purpose for this Purim Su'uda? The Levush, in his commentary, suggests that this is one of the major differences between Chanukah and Purim. Whereas on Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that there is not a specific mitzvah to have a su'uda, a festive meal, on Chanukah, on Purim there is. Why? The Levush explains because Chanukah is a time when it was the spiritual aspect of the Jewish people that was being threatened. A Jew at the time of Matisyahu, who was willing to not circumcise his son, and not keep the Shabbat, and not subscribe to the laws of Kashrus, so such a person was not in danger. So it was not the physical part of the individual that was in danger, rather it was the spiritual aspect of man. And therefore, we celebrate the holiday of Chanukah by accentuating that aspect which Baruch Hashem was given its right and its championship, namely the spiritual aspect of man. And therefore the primary part of Chanukah is the lighting of the candles, the recitation of the Hallel. On Purim, however, what Haman and the subsequent Haman's Yamach Shemam throughout Jewish history were out to do was Lahashmid, Laharog Uliabed, to annihilate physically the Jewish people. And therefore, what was at stake was the body, and we gladden the body, therefore, with a Su'udas Purim. This is the explanation that the Levush gives for the Purim Su'uda. However, as we saw based upon the She'iltos, the other explanation that we can all enjoy with and share with our guests at the Purim Su'uda this year is that we are having a festive meal in honor of the receiving of the Torah, which transpired at Purim. In fact, the Vilna Gaon picks up on this, and he understands that when the rabbis tell us the interesting analogy that Yom Kippurim, the rabbis tell us that Yom Kippur, which we all view as being the holiest, most solemn day of the year, yet, as the Ari Zal explained it, it's a day Kippurim. It's almost like, but it's not as great a day as Purim, but there is this strong connection between Yom Kippur and Purim. Indeed, says the Vilna Gaon. What is another connection? They both share that they are days of Kabbalas HaTorah. Because the Gemara tells us at the end of Ta'anis that the reason why Yom Kippur is such a happy day is, number one, it's a day of Mechilas Avonos. It's a day when the Jew is purged of his and her sins. And furthermore, the Talmud tells us, Yom Shenitna Lucho Shnios. This is the day when the second set of tablets were given. The first ones, as we know, were broken by Moshe when he comes down and he sees the Jewish people worshipping the golden calf. Moshe renegotiates on behalf of the Jewish people, going twice more up to Sinai, finally comes down with the second set of Luchos on the 10th of Tishrei, Yom HaKippurim. The second set of Luchos represent the Kabbalas HaTorah, the Jewish people accepting the Torah, and specifically the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral law. And it's for this reason that the Vilna Gaon and Rav Soloveitchik Zichrono Levracha want to perpetuate and to say this often, that one of the reasons that we have a festive meal and a special meal on Erev Yom Kippur, that there's a mitzvah to eat on this day, is to celebrate the aspect of Yom Kippur, which is a day of receiving the Torah. And therefore, since on Yom Kippur per se, when we fast, we cannot eat, therefore, on Erev Yom Kippur, we eat. But part of this eating and celebrating is in conjunction with the Kabbalas HaTorah. So, too, Purim is the day of Kabbalas HaTorah, and therefore, we have the Purim Seuda. It is interesting to note that while there is a separate halacha regarding the reading of the Megillah, that mitzvah, and a separate halacha in Shulchan Aruch regarding ma'os purim la'aniyim, matonos le'avyonim, the gifts to the poor, which we'll speak about in a few moments, there is no separate chapter for mishloach manos, but rather within the chapter of Sudas Purim, Simon Tofresh Tzadihei, the Machaber, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, talks about the third mitzvah, which is Chayev L'Shloach L'Chaveiro, one is obligated to send to one's friend, Shtei Manos Basar, two different gifts of meat or other foods, Shenemar, as it says, U'Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu, the sending of gifts one to another, Shtei Matanos L'Isha Chod, at least two different variations of food to one individual, V'chol HaMarbe L'Shloach L'Re'im, and whoever increases and sends to many, Mishubach, it is praiseworthy. What is the reason for this mitzvah? The Talmud tells us in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, Amar Rava, Leka Diyada Lishna Bisha Kehaman. There was none who was able to focus on the most delicious and proper Lashon Hara on behalf of the Jewish people or concerning the Jewish people as Haman HaRasha. How so? Because Haman, when he came to Achashverosh, he said in chapter 3, verse 5 of Megillas Esther, Yeshno am echad, there is a people, mefuzar umefurad bein ho'amim, literally that are scattered and spread among the nations. Our rabbis understand that what Haman was saying is the people of Israel are not united. It's not a problem to go out on a frontal attack against the Jews because, after all, they are so divided. They are living separately from one another and they have no shaychus, they have no connection one to another. And therefore, in order to dispel, in order to show that Haman's charge against our people, that they are mifurad u'mifuzar, that they are disconnected one from another, there is a mitzvah to send gifts one to another in order to bring about closeness and friendship, ahava v'achva, shalom v'reyus, among our people. And interestingly, it's for this reason that the Pela Yoeds, in his section on Purim, suggests that it's more important to send mishloach manos to those individuals who are not yet your closest friends, to those individuals that you might not always say good Shabbos to, and especially, unfortunately, to those individuals that you might have had some kind of a run-in, and at the moment they're not on your list of persons to whom you would invite necessarily to your home. It's specifically them, suggests the Pela Yoeds, that you should send Mishloach Manos to on Purim, because it's crucial that we reinstate to the Jewish community the sense of Achdus, the sense of togetherness. Why? Points out the Vilna Gaon. Because just as by the original Matan Torah, what do we read in the book of Shmos, preceding the giving of the Torah, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, that the Jewish people camped, and the Torah couches this in the singular, Ki'ish Echad, B'Lev Echad, like one man with one heart, they were united in purpose, and they focused on the Torah which united them. So too, we read at the end of chapter 9, the end of the Megillah, the Torah tells us, "Ushar ha-Yehudim asher b'mdinos ha-melech," the rest of the Jewish people. We're taught in the Book of Esther, chapter 9, verse 16, "Nikalu ve'omod al nafsham." In terms of their fighting against their enemies, they gather together, and the Navi uses the word ve'omod, literally that they stood up against, but it doesn't say ve'omdu, but rather, says the Gra, once again, ki'ish echad. And subsequently, in the same chapter, chapter 9, verse 23, the Navi tells us, v'kibel ha'yehudim, Eis Asher Hechelu La'asos, namely, that the Jewish community accepted upon themselves the celebration and the perpetuation of Purim. Interestingly, the verse should have said V'kiblu Ayehudim in the plural. Once again, it is written in the singular because it shows us that what was necessary at this time, reflecting as that which happened at the original Kabbalah HaTorah, is that there be unity among our people, ki'ish echad, b'lev echad. Regarding Mishloach Manos, we find an interesting comment in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Zayin Amid Beis, whereby we are taught that Abaye Bar Ovin and Rav Chanina Bar Ovin mechalfei seudosayu lahadodi. It means that they swapped or exchanged their meals one with another. Most of the rabbis understand this to mean that these two gentlemen were poor and they didn't have the wherewithal of sending mishloach manos. Each of them had their own meager food for a Purim Suda. So what they did was, they sent their particular Suda one to the other, and that way, not only did each one have a Suda, each one was able to satisfy their obligation of Mishloach Manos, having sent two foods to another person. At first glance, what the Gemara is teaching us is the following, that perhaps one would have thought that since each of these individuals who are exchanging their respective meals is really getting just what he was starting with in the first place, that really neither of them have nothing in addition to what they had started out with, so perhaps one would think that that's not really a fulfillment of Mishloach Manos. The answer is, yes, it is. Why? Because, as we've pointed out, the reason for Mishloach Manos is to create this bond of friendship, and therefore, even if there is not much of a material gain in the process, but the fact that my friend has gone through the act of extending himself and sending something to me, this helps create the bond of unity, which is what we are looking for as part of the essence of the day of Purim, reflecting the atmosphere in which Torah can be given. Because after all, as we say in the bracha, when we are privileged to receive an aliyah, and that which we recite every morning, Birchas HaTorah, Asher Bochar Banu Mikol HaAmim, God first chose us as a people from among all the other peoples, and then when we were united as a people, then V'nasan Lanu Es Torah, so He gave us His Torah. It's a prerequisite for the receiving of Torah, a prerequisite for Purim, therefore, is that there be unity among the Jewish people. The Bach, however, in his commentary on Simon Tofresh Tzadihei, gives us an insight into Rashi's interpretation of this Gemara. Rashi says that what these two rabbis did was not that they exchanged their meals, as the Rambam and the Ran learns, but rather, says Rashi, ze ochel im ze bepurim shel shana zu. The first year, one of them went to the other one's home and was a guest in his home. Ubishnia, and the next year, soed chavero imo. The next year, the other one went and was a guest in the other one's home. Meaning, they didn't exchange the same year their respective meals, but they went to the other one's su'udah, other one's meal. One year, A went to B, and the second year, B went to A. Now, if you were to ask me, I would think that this is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. Says the Bach, no. Rashi is telling you that they fulfilled the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Incredible! They didn't give each other anything. All they did was they dined, they joined one another. So how does this fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Therefore, explains the Bach so beautifully. Ha'emes, and I quote, he says, Shayu machlifim one another, v'ikaro, the main essence of this Gemara is, lo osa elo liashmi'inon, to teach us this law, debisoed eitzel chaveiro, when you dine and join your friend at the meal, Peturim Shneim Mechiv Mishloach Manos. You actually can satisfy your obligation of Mishloach Manos. Why? Because the whole purpose is to create the sense of Ahava and Achva, to create the sense of brotherhood and direct responsibility one for another. And therefore, says the Bach, you don't have to explain the Gemara that you're dealing here with aniyim. Ela filu bashirim kein hadin. Even wealthy people can subscribe to this practice. Sheimo hayu oavim zeh b'yeser oz. They loved one another, and therefore they joined one another. Now, my friends, lahalacha, we do not subscribe to this opinion of Rashi and the explanation of the Bach as far as our literal fulfillment of Mishloach Manos goes, which means that in addition to joining a friend, we have to actually send two ready-to-eat foods. However, the philosophy behind Rashi's interpretation is so important because it tells us what the purpose of the mitzvos hayom is. It shows us that we are out to create harmony within the Jewish community, because if so, then we can appreciate the Torah which was given to the Jewish people in its totality. Finally, the fourth and last mitzvah of the day of Purim is that of Matanos Le'evyonim, whereby the Shulchan Aruch teaches us, Chayov kol adam litein lefachos shtei matanos l'shnei aniyim. Namely, on the day of Purim, every Jewish man and woman is obligated to give money or food to at least two poor persons. Interestingly, if there are no poor people available in one's community, one should put aside money on Purim and give it to poor people afterwards. Regarding this mitzvah of Matanos Le'evyonim, of giving gifts to the poor, I'd like to share with you an interesting Bach who tells us and tries to put the two mitzvos of Matanos Le'evyonim and Mishloach Manos in a very interesting perspective. He writes the following. These two mitzvos, they are to demonstrate the complete simcha of the day, which includes, one, simchas avodas yotzer kol. We are literally to demonstrate simcha, happiness, and gratitude to God. And how does one say thank you, God? Writes the Bach, V'heim hamatonos le'evyonim. By taking care of his poor, by taking care of those who are in need of our emotional support. This is how we thank you, God, for our success. V'gam kein, and he says, the mitzvos of Purim, koleles simchas ha'adam im ohava v'reyav. It includes as well the happiness of man with his friends, and that is Mishloach Manos. Because, as he points out, on Purim we were privileged to have two different kinds of redemptions or salvations. One, Shenifra Lanu Mikol Tzoreinu. God protected us from our enemies from without. V'nokam nikmosenu, he avenged those who tried to do us harm. V'shenis, and second of all, shehoshia lanu, he protected us, atchelo nifkad me'itanu ish, that literally we did not lose a soul on Purim. Another reason why, in conjunction with Hanukkah, writes the commentary Ma'aseh Hashem there is no mitzvah of simcha on Hanukkah. Why? Because unfortunately on Hanukkah there were korbanos. There was the loss of Jewish life on Hanukkah. The sons of Matisyahu, as great as they were, they died, and they died a tragic death at the time of Hanukkah. And therefore, our simcha is incomplete, as opposed to the time of Purim, Shlo Nivkad Me'itanu Ish, where we did not lose a soul. What a phenomenal miracle. And therefore, he points out that these two phenomena, namely, God's protection from without of our enemies, this is demonstrated with Matanos Le'evyonim. The fact that we are all together and didn't lose anybody, this is the concept of Mishloach Manos. But I would like to conclude with the idea that we have been speaking about, that all of the mitzvos of the day fit in to our theme of Purim being a day of Kabbalas HaTorah. And therefore, the prophets, all of them, spoke about our obligation towards Chesed, how we have to treat the unfortunate members of society, how the Navi tells us what God wants is to mashpil geim, to bring down that and those who are haughty, and magbia shfalim, to elevate those who are humble. This is the primary theme and the primary call of the prophets, whereby even at this expense of sacrifices, the Navi speaks and says, make sure that you take care of those that are in need in your community. And I therefore think that if Purim is a day of Kabbalas HaTorah, it behooves us that we are to recall, not only are we to share gifts with one another, but we have an obligation to share Torah with one another. Purim is to remind us that as we give Mishloach Manos on this day to families that might live near us, but that are not yet observant and don't yet keep kosher and don't yet keep Shabbos, whether they are recent arrivals from the former Soviet Union, whether they are families that have come from Eretz Yisrael, whatever their background is, unfortunately so many who don't have the proper Jewish education. So we begin in such a beautiful way by literally welcoming them to our Purim Suda. If we can't have them literally at our Purim Suda, then we send them an extension of our Purim Suda, which is why Mishloach Manos is found in the chapter of Sudas Purim. Here, this is literally a part, and that's why it's preferable if one can actually send something substantive, not just a piece of cake and a fruit, but rather an actual part of the meal itself, showing I really wish you could be part of my meal, you are important to me. But my suggestion and my hope and my prayer is that this learning that we have done together is going to impact upon all of us, to move us, not only on the day of Purim, but after the day of Purim, to recognize that we have this obligation of Matanos Le'evyonim, to give gifts to the poor, those who are poor in knowledge, those who are deficient in their observance of mitzvos, for us to welcome them, to embrace them, and not to, God forbid, distance ourselves therefrom. La'yehudim ha'isa'ora v'simcha v'sason v'yikar. that is a verse that we recite in conjunction with the Havdalah ceremony each and every Saturday night. It reminds us on a regular basis how God intervenes in the natural way for us, as he did at the time of Purim. But I pray that this shiur will be taken by all of us as a charge, that we too can create sason v'simcha. We can create joy in the Jewish community by reaching out and enhancing one another by sharing our Torah, by sharing our mitzvos one with another. I take this opportunity of wishing everyone a joyous and festive holiday of Purim.